Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
What's happening? It is your boy Monty Cliff coming to you live from the apartment off River Way, Boston, Massachusetts, and I'm very excited because we are covering Progress Chapter 67. Bourbon is also a biscuit today on the podcast. Another great show from Progress. This is from April 7th, 2018, New Orleans, Louisiana, for More Than Mania weekend. Let's not waste any time. Let's get right down to the action. Jim Smallman opening up the show as usual, hyping the crowd up for the show. There's no commentary on this upload either. With Chapter 66, there wasn't any commentary. So that's kind of a bummer, but we'll focus on the action here. First up, opening match, Ray Horace versus Chris Brooks. So Chris Brooks is out first, CCK member. Nice reaction from the crowd. He's coming off a nice showing in that Thunder Bastard match at Chapter 66, which he unfortunately did not win. Ray Horace out second here, masked Mexican luchador. Decent reaction from the crowd. So hopefully this one will be fun. There's a tie-up to start. Chris Brooks has a huge height advantage here, much longer than Ray Horace. Some nice chain wrestling on display. The match finally opens up with some shoulder tackles, rope running, evades, just some quick pinfall attempts. The pace definitely increased kind of early in this match. Horace is absorbing some chops in the corner from Brooks, but he comes back, hits a nice twisting springboard arm drag, some of that high-flying lucha style on display here. Brooks regains control on the outside of the ring, throwing Horace into the ring post, then a backdrop on the apron. Brooks regains control again in the ring, nice jumping knee drop, then tearing at the mask of Ray Horace. The crowd's booing him for that. Of course, that's a big no-no in the luchador culture. Horace fighting back now with a springboard dropkick. Brooks rolls to the outside. Horace vaults over the top rope into a Hurricanrana on the outside. Follows that up with a Tope Con Hilo over the ring post onto Brooks on the outside again. Great set of dives there from the luchador. Standing Spanish fly in the ring, but only gets Ray Horace a two count. Not enough to get the victory. Brooks regains composure. Slingshot cutter. Two count again only, though. Top rope reverse code red by Horace. Two count again, though. Great spot there. Neither man can put this match away. There's a massive standing tornado DDT, but again, only gets Horace a two count. Cannot finish the match. Brooks hits a nice Michinoku driver. Two count only. Brooks follows that up immediately with his octopus stretch. Wrenches it back as both men fall to the mat. Horace is left with no option but to tap out. Chris Brooks is the winner by submission. Post-match, the two men embrace. Good sportsmanship on display. This was a pretty good opening contest. Kind of slow to start. And then that last quarter of the match was really fun. Overall, it's not Brooks' best match. This was my first time seeing Ray Horace, and it was fine. It was good. So I'd be interested in seeing more of him in the future. But this, you know, the crowd's warmed up here, and I think that was kind of the goal of the match. So consider it a success. Next up, we've got the Progress Women's Title match. Toni Storm, the champion, defending against Mercedes Martinez. So these two squared off the previous day at Chapter 66 in a tag match. Martinez and Ginny were victorious over Storm and Shaza McKenzie. Going at it again here in singles competition. Tough contest for Toni Storm, most definitely. Martinez is out first. Nice reaction from the crowd. She looks very confident as usual. Toni Storm out second to a huge pop. This match should be solid. The crowd is kind of firmly behind Toni here to start. There's some grappling. Storm locks in a sleeper hold briefly, and then Toni comes at Martinez with some quick strikes and then a running boot. But Martinez then hits a huge spine buster. Two count only, though, as she goes for the pin attempt, and then she's pummeling Toni Storm on the mat. Martinez is in complete control, whipping Storm into the turnbuckles, but then she misses a boot, and Storm capitalizes with a great German suplex, running hip attack to a seated Martinez in the corner. Storm climbs to the top, but Martinez stops her there, grabs Storm, and then pulls her off the top rope into a cutter, two count only. Storm manages to regain composure, hits a leg-trapped German suplex, and then a kick to the head. She goes for the pin, but only gets a two count, transitions directly into a Fujiwara armbar, bridging Fujiwara armbar. But Martinez shifts her weight and gets Toni into a pinning combination, two count only. Martinez trying to set up her fisherman buster, but Storm gets out of it and hits a back cracker, another two count here. Martinez hits that fisherman buster, though, finally, slow to get the cover, and then when she does, Toni Storm manages to get her foot on the bottom rope before that three count. Still the champion here. She's not given up yet. Martinez looking for it again, that fisherman buster, but Storm counters and slaps on another bridging Fujiwara armbar. It's very deep, forcing Mercedes Martinez to tap out. Toni Storm gets the win here, successfully defends her title in New Orleans, Louisiana. Really great contest between these two, great chemistry in the ring, good back and forth momentum swings. I was kind of surprised, really, by their chemistry, so that was very cool. Martinez looked strong throughout, Storm able to seize the opportunity as it came to her. Great stuff overall. After the match, Jim comes back to the ring and then mentions that Will Ospreay has had a really tough weekend. So yeah, we're kind of transitioning away here from the women's match to the next match. So Will Ospreay is supposed to be in singles competition, but instead he comes down to the ring, grabs the mic, and kind of explains the situation. He's looking very banged up, obviously. He had a busy weekend in New Orleans right after that neck injury from his match with Marty Scurll in New Japan. So he explains the situation of his neck. He wants to honor the commitment to progress by competing, but he can't compete in a singles match. So instead they've booked a mixed tag match here instead. Will Ospreay's tag partner is Kaylee Ray, and she comes down to the ring out to a huge set of applause from the crowd. She's straight to the ring, ready to go, enjoying herself for sure. And then Will Ospreay's opponent here was supposed to be Austin Theory, so he comes out next. He's got his two title belts on him, the WWN Championship and the FIP Heavyweight title. He gets some boos from the crowd. I'm not sure how much of a crossover there was with the crowds. Obviously, when Theory comes out in an Evolve contest, he gets a lot of boos because he's got that heel rapport built up. So a crowd that's more familiar with Progress Wrestling might not know who Theory is. And if you are unfamiliar with Austin Theory, he's fantastic. He's only, I think, 20 years old. Absolute stud. He's going to be huge in this business. So anyway, then his partner, Ginny, comes out last here. She and Theory stand at the end of the entranceway. Theory has a microphone. Like I said, it was supposed to be Theory and Ospreay one-on-one. He says if he gets in the ring with Ospreay, he's not just going to embarrass Will. He's going to embarrass New Japan Pro Wrestling as well because he's going to beat the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. That's a great promo here from him. He and Ginny enter the ring, and then we're ready to go as the bell sounds. Theory and Ospreay are exchanging words in the middle of the ring. Ginny comes in, and so does Kaylee Ray. Ginny puts on that Hannibal mask that Jimmy Havoc often wears. Havoc, of course, a trainer of Ginny's, so Ginny Havoc is essentially being unleashed here. Ospreay takes the mask off Ginny, and she hits him with a huge forearm. So we're off to a quick start here. Ginny hits a huge two times around head scissors takeover, tags Theory in. Ospreay manages to fight back, though. He tags Kaylee Ray in, and they're hitting some quick strikes on Theory while he's dazed. Theory uses his power, though, and picks Kaylee Ray up and tosses her across the ring. Ginny is tagged back in. There's a voodoo doll in the fold now, and Ginny's kind of controlling Kaylee Ray with it. Will Ospreay comes in to try to help Kaylee Ray, but under the control of the voodoo doll, Kaylee Ray hits Will Ospreay with a slap. She just can't seem to control her actions. Theory comes in with an awesome rolling dropkick to both Ray and Ospreay. Theory tosses Ospreay through the ropes to the outside, where Ospreay kind of inadvertently hits a suicide dive on Kaylee Ray. Theory and Ginny now in control in the ring on Ray, but she won't give up, of course. Kaylee Ray manages to hit a drop kick on Ginny. The men are tagged in now. Ospreay comes in very hot, taking it to Austin Theory over the top rope, 619, springboard forearm off the top, but only gets Will Ospreay a two count. Theory hits a picture-perfect rolling standing blockbuster on Will Ospreay, two count only, though. Ospreay and Ray hit a cheeky Nando's kick on Ginny in the corner. Ray follows that up with a Swanton bomb. She's put a lot of competitors away with that move, but Theory breaks up the pinfall here. Not enough to put Ginny away. Kaylee Ray hits a reverse Frankensteiner on Theory and then immediately hits a reverse Code Red of sorts as well. Theory rolls to the outside, no pinfall attempt. Ginny comes back in and hits a facebuster on Ray, who's hung over the second turnbuckle, three count. Austin Theory and Ginny pick up the victory here in what is an incredible contest. Four fantastic competitors brought their all here. All pretty young competitors in what might not even be the prime of their careers. Will Ospreay tearing up Japan right now. Kaylee Ray was a participant in the first Mae Young Classic tournament. She's got definitely still a lot of bright matches in front of her. Austin Theory and Ginny, I think, are both poised to have breakout years in 2018. Austin Theory's already started his by winning these championships, and I think Ginny's going to do the same in progress, but by finally dethroning Toni Storm. But that's a conversation for another time. So this was an incredible match here, a must-watch for Chapter 67. So up next, we've got a six-man tag match. It's going to be Keith Lee, David Starr, and Matt Riddle versus Mark Haskins, Jimmy Havoc, and Flash Morgan Webster. Keith Lee out first to cheers from the crowd. He was David Starr's surprise tag partner at Chapter 66. So we'll see them team up again here with Matt Riddle in the mix as well. David Starr out second, also a great crowd reaction. He had a tough loss the previous day to RingConf, so he's hoping to get back in the winning column here. Riddle's out third. Nice reaction for him as well. Crowd chanting bro as usual as he coolly walks around the ring and fist bumps all of the crowd. Haskins and Havoc out next with Vicky Haskins as well. Haskins is on fire here, charging the ring. Havoc more methodical as usual. This team has a great dynamic. Flash Morgan Webster is actually joining them in this entrance as well. He was kind of a late addition to the entrance, but he's here as well. This will be kind of the first match of his where Vicky stays in his corner at ringside for what I'm assuming will be the majority, if not all, of the match. As we've seen in the past, she's walked out to the ring with him now twice, and twice she's been sent to the back before the match even starts. Starr and Haskins start us off here. Fast-paced grappling, trying to get the upper hand quickly. These two are bringing it early. No man landing big offense, though. Riddle and Flash are tagged in, squaring off as well, but no one's really getting the better of the other. And then Riddle and Havoc now squaring off. They fought one-on-one at Chapter 66. Havoc biting the toes of Riddle again here, continuing that gimmick from the previous day. Keith Lee's tagged in. Lee offers Havoc the boot to bite. Unlike Riddle, Keith Lee does wear boots in the ring, so Havoc grabs the boot, and instead of biting it, he bites Keith Lee's exposed knee instead. Havoc eventually pokes Lee in the eyes, but then eats a massive chop for his efforts. Flash is tagged back in. No team is really getting the upper hand here still, though it's pretty fun to watch the back and forth. There's a comedy aspect to it as well. Flash finally gets the upper hand on Starr. Haskins tagged in as he continues that attack. Quick tags now, as the team of Havoc Haskins and Flash Morgan Webster have the upper hand on David Starr. Starr finally gets a hot tag to Riddle, though, and he's tossing Haskins around. But Haskins hits one of those roll-through sit-out Death Valley drivers, leaving both men on the canvas. Keith Lee tagged in, tearing everyone down in his path, tossing Havoc and Flash around like they are absolutely weightless. His power, Keith Lee, is unmatched. The action is really picking up the pace now. All men kind of coming and going as they please. Keith Lee tosses Flash over the top rope onto the men outside of the ring. Great show of strength from him again there. Haskins, Havoc, and Flash firmly in control now, though. Starr taking the brunt of the beating again in the ring. They finish him off with an acid rainmaker, knee strike, roundhouse kick combo. Get the three count. Haskins, Havoc, and Flash Morgan Webster are victorious. This match really picked up in the last third. The early stuff was fun. There was a comedy aspect to it, you know, but it was good stuff, and the ending was very much worth it. It was pretty incredible. I couldn't really look away, and there's just too much to cover. There was too much action to cover everything, so check this match out if you can. Another note, too, is Vicky Haskins didn't really get involved in this one, and truthfully, she may have just added an unnecessary element if she did get involved, so I think it's best that she didn't just kind of let these six men go at it. All right, post-match, Jim Smallman gives Darby Allin a shout-out. Darby received a concussion yesterday during that Thunder Bastard match, kind of botched a suicide dive. I think it's the one where he tried to dive on a seated Joey Janela. And it just kind of didn't, he didn't get enough distance on it. So best wishes to Darby. Hopefully he's fully recovered now and getting back into action. So the next match here is going to be a Progress number one contender match for that title. Walter versus Zack Sabre Jr. Walter, of course, already the Progress Atlas champion, looking to get a shot at Travis Banks' world title as well. We saw him come out at the end of Chapter 65 and confront Banks. So he's looking very confident on the way to the ring here. He's got a tough order, though, as Zack Sabre Jr. comes out next, making his return to Progress Wrestling. Very awesome to see him, as always. He's going to have a huge size disadvantage here, which is not unfamiliar to him. He will use his leverage and his technical abilities, I'm assuming, to even the odds. Sabre Jr. trying to stay low in the early goings here, trying to bring Walter to the mat. He's having a tough go of it, but it's a smart strategy. Walter's able to kind of use his size to avoid it. But Sabre Jr. slaps Walter, which is a huge mistake. You don't want to trade chops and slaps with the big Austrian Walter. Walter throws a massive chop to knock Sabre Jr. off his feet. These two are putting on a nice match here. Big chops and strikes being traded, then some submission attempts. Neither man can really get the best of his opponent. Whenever Walter starts powering Sabre Jr. around, Sabre Jr. comes back. He's looking constantly ready to go. Sabre Jr. smart here. He's targeting the arm of Walter. If that arm is injured, Walter can't throw those super stiff chops, though he does continue to try using his opposite hand as well. Walter goes for his big power bomb, but Sabre Jr. reverses it into a standing guillotine choke. Walter able to power out of that and toss Sabre Jr. for a butterfly suplex. These two are getting pretty worn down the longer this match goes on. They're giving it their all for sure. Sabre Jr. hits a nice penalty kick and attempts to pin Walter by just placing a boot on his chest. The crowd's booing him a bit for that. That's pretty cocky. I don't think that was a very smart tactic from Zack Sabre Jr., who's normally very, very educated and very on top of his game in the ring. Because of this, Walter seems pretty angry, but that doesn't deter Sabre Jr.'s confidence. He keeps eating chops and standing back up for more, hitting Walter when he can. Sabre Jr. goes for a bridging pin, but Walter manages to transition that into a sleeper hold. Sabre Jr. is forced to tap. Walter is now the official number one contender for the Progress Championship. This was a great contest. No frills here, just tough action. Two men trying to destroy the other with chops and submissions. Absolutely top-notch stuff. All right, two matches left here. Next up is the Progress Tag Titles match as the champions, Grizzled Young Veterans, defend versus Ethan Page and Ricky Shane Page. Ricky Shane Page comes out first. He's having a good time on the way to the ring. Ethan Page out next to a nice reaction from the crowd. He grabs a mic and the two of them kind of cut a funny promo about their mutual last names, shouting out WWE's Page and, of course, legend Diamond Dallas Page. Which I'm sure is going to rub the Grizzled Young Vets the wrong way. They absolutely hate comedy gimmicks. Grizzled Young Vets out now, boos from the crowd, and they are looking focused as usual, not looking to really entertain the crowd. Gibson grabs a mic, and as I expected, he's talking smack about American wrestling and now talking smack about Ethan Page and Ricky Shane Page about their comedy aspects. Gibson is doing absolutely great heel stuff on the mic. He has so much charisma and he's so angry. He really gets the ire of the crowd. Ethan Page and James Drake start us off. Gibson gets tagged in though, and the two gain control with a couple nice tag moves. The Pages regain some momentum. Not for long though, as the Grizzled Young Vets start taking it to Ethan Page again. Ethan Page eventually counters a poetry in motion type tag move from the Grizzled Young Vets. He gets a tag to RSP. RSP comes in. He's looking pretty good, in control for now. P- Pages maintain that control, hitting some decent tag moves as well for a team that I'm not, to my knowledge, hasn't tagged too much together. Gibson is able to pull Ethan out of the ring and toss him into the ring post. Inside the ring, the Grizzled Young Vets now taking it to RSP. Ticket to Ride from Gibson, followed by a 450 splash from Drake, only gets a two count though. Ethan Page and Gibson trading forearms in the middle of the ring. Drake inadvertently hits a super kick on Gibson though. Ethan hits a suicide dive to Drake on the outside. Back in the ring, RSP comes. Cutter, slingshot cutter from Ethan Page, only gets a two count though. RSP is about to hit a top rope Hurricanrana when Eddie Dennis distracts him from the crowd. Gibson tosses RSP to the outside here. Drake gets Ethan Page in a tombstone position. Ticket to Mayhem. Three count. This one's over. The Grizzled Young Veterans retain their tag titles in a pretty good contest. But after the match is when the real treat comes. Eddie Dennis hops the barricade in the ring. He's got a microphone. He said that when Darby Allin was injured, of course, Darby Allin was supposed to be in this match as the tag partner, I think, to RSP. So anyway, Eddie Dennis is saying that when Darby Allin got injured, they asked Mark Andrews to step up and fill the void, but Mark Andrews didn't want to waste his time with an indie promotion and instead opted to take part in WrestleMania Access. Eddie Dennis and RSP are now trading words in the ring. He bops RSP on the head with the mic, now stomping on him and then scurrying off to the back before Ethan Page can come in to help RSP. Another masterful promo from Eddie Dennis. This guy is great. He's got great heel charisma. His turn was, I think, the best thing to happen to him in progress. It was a pretty good tag contest here as far as the match goes. Wasn't anything to really write home about. Fine wrestling. Nothing wrong with it, but nothing spectacular about it. All right, the main event here. Progress World title on the line. Travis Banks, the champion, defending against Jeff Cobb. Jeff Cobb out first. Of course, he was the winner of Chapter 66ers. Thunderbastard match. He wanted that title shot against Travis Banks. He gets it here. He comes out. He's going to have a definite size advantage and a strength advantage in this one. The champion, Travis Banks, out second. He's looking pretty confident. Getting a decent amount of applause still from the crowd, even though he's kind of got this slow-burning heel turn going. Banks takes the mic from Jim after introductions. He's telling the crowd that he's disappointed in the reaction that he got as he walked to the ring. He wants them to scream an apology to him now. He's getting the crowd to turn on him real good here. The crowd boos him. This is great stuff. He says that Progress is his yard. Again, replicating Roman Reigns, WWE's Roman Reigns, kind of gets some more heat here. Now, he's been doing that over the last few chapters, doing like the Superman punch and doing the ooh-ah thing and the it's my yard type stuff. It's really funny to see Travis do it. I think it's great. Match opens with Banks trying to hit one of those Superman punches, but Cobb catches him and tosses him around now. Travis Banks is throwing chops and slaps, but Cobb seems pretty unfazed by them. Jeff Cobb hits an awesome stalling suplex off the second rope on Banks. Only a two count here, though. Cobb setting up Banks for the People's Moonsault, a parody of The Rock's People's Elbow, but Banks rolls out of the way and Cobb misses that moonsault. Banks now throwing kicks on a downed Cobb. Cannonball to a seated Cobb in the corner. Banks hits one low suicide dive on Cobb, then another, but Cobb catches Banks on that third attempt, slams him on the apron. Cobb looking to regain control in this match. A little later, Banks hits a coast-to-coast dropkick, only gets a two count though. Cobb counters the Slice of Heaven kick into a twisting backdrop, goes for the pin, only gets a two count as the champion kicks out. Cobb hits a big spear on Banks, but Banks gets right up and hits a clothesline, knocking both men to the canvas. Travis Banks counters the Tour of the Islands into a crucifix pin, two count only though. Slice of Heaven takes Cobb off his feet, again only a two count. Banks gets Cobb up for a Kiwi Crusher of sorts, is a little bit modified, but it gets him the three count. Travis Banks retains the title in a very solid contest. Nice title defense from Travis Banks. I enjoyed this one. Banks was a little bit more dominated here throughout the match than I expected him to be given that size disadvantage, but it was still strong booking nonetheless. After the match, Valter comes out. We get that face-off. Travis holds up the belt. Valter snatches it and holds it up himself before Banks can take it back. So this brings a close to the show here. Another great card from Progress. Match of the night is probably between that six-man tag and that mixed tag match. I'm leaning a little bit towards the mixed tag match. But two great contests with tons of action. They didn't let up at all. Great title defenses here from all the Progress champions. No crazy shakeups for Progress in New Orleans earlier this month, but they did put out a great product as expected. So just going forward, we are going to talk about what's up next for Progress. Obviously, the big event now is Super Strong Style 16. That is the first weekend of May, I believe. Yes, May 5th, 6th, and 7th. So the 16 competitors announced, I'll list them off here, and then we'll talk about who I think is going to make kind of a run in the tournament. So you've got Pete Dunne, Keith Lee, Zach Sabre Jr., Doug Williams, Angelico, Mark Andrews, Flash Morgan Webster, Chuck Mambo, Chris Brooks, Jordan Devlin, Joey Janela, TK Cooper, David Starr, Tyler Bate, Cassius Ohno, and then in the 16th spot, you have the Grizzled Young Veterans. Progress said that they'd allow one of them to compete. They get to decide who competes. So the only snub here, I think, maybe there's a few, but a big snub here to me is Trent Seven, just because you got the other two guys from British Strong Style in the match. But there's a great kind of great diversity of competitors here. You got some technical stuff. You got a legend in Doug Williams. You got an up-and-comer and a guy like Chuck Mambo. And then you got like the powerhouses like Keith Lee, the big awesome surprise being Cassius Ohno coming over from NXT. That's super cool to me. And then you have Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, two former WWE UK champions. You have tons of guys here, tons of great competitors. So if I had to guess guys that'll kind of go far in the tournament, I'd expect to maybe see Chuck Mambo or Joey Janela kind of having a breakout tournament. Kind of, I think that's kind of unexpected for them to go far, so I could see them, one of them winning their first matches and going on, maybe both of them win their first matches. What else do we have here? I think, so I was thinking Doug Williams might make a run in the tournament, but then I remembered he actually hasn't won a match in Progress yet, so I don't think that the match here at Super Strong Style is going to be his first win, so I bet he's a first round knockout. Unfortunately, a lot of respect to Doug. He's a pioneer for modern British wrestling. I could see Cassius Ohno maybe getting knocked out in the first round. I think it's just kind of cool that he's there. I think what they do is maybe knock Cassius out in the first round and then have him compete on day two and three in some other contest. Maybe get some dream matchups for him out of it, you know. If you have a guy like Pete Dunne or Tyler Bate knocked out early in the tournament, you could see them compete on day two or three. You know, one of them competing with Cassius, I think that would be great. Mark Andrews, I don't think will get very far in the tournament. I'm assuming Eddie Dennis is going to be lurking over his shoulder the entire time, so that'll be cool. I think maybe TK Cooper could make a run here in this tournament. Keith Lee, maybe he'll get a little bit of a run. So yeah, I think you'll have an underdog like Joey Janela or Chuck Mambo. You'll see TK Cooper and Keith Lee, I think, getting a bit of a push. As far as the winner of the tournament, it's tough to say. I feel like the winner of the tournament is normally somebody who's decently established. I think I'm going to pick TK Cooper here. I don't think he's an obvious choice to win, and I think that Progress normally likes to pick somebody who's established but is kind of a surprise. So yeah, I could see TK Cooper going over, or yeah, no, I'll leave it at that. TK Cooper is my pick for the Super Strong Style 16 tournament. Hopefully I'm right. And if they do announce like a bracket of sorts beforehand, I will post about that on my Twitter as well so we can have a little dialogue about it. But there are a couple other matches announced for the weekend already. On the 6th, day 2 of the tournament, you've got Travis Banks versus Valter. I'm assuming that this is going to be for Travis Banks' championship. You know, I was thinking for a long time that Valter was going to go over here, but given Travis Banks' kind of new heel turn angle that he's working, I think he's going to get the win over the big Austrian. Maybe he cheats to win. I don't think he wins clean, and maybe that sets up another match between Valter and Travis Banks down the line. But I definitely think in this match at Super Strong Style 16, Travis Banks is going to successfully defend that championship. Also on the second day, There is a six-woman tag match announced. You have three members of the House of Couture. You have Ginny, the leader, Nina Samuels, and Shakara taking on Millie McKenzie, Sierra Loxton, and a surprise partner. I don't want to speculate on who that surprise partner was. I initially thought it could just be Toni Storm, but I don't think that they're going to put her in this match and then have her defend the title on the third day. I'd love to see somebody like Kaylee Ray come over. That would be really cool. I know Dahlia Black stepped away from in-ring competition, but one more match from Dahlia Black would definitely be well received, I think, and especially given her history with Ginny. I think that would be really cool, but I'm not holding my breath on that one. So yeah, you're going to have the House of Couture taking on Millie McKenzie and Sierra Loxton, and then a mystery partner. Millie McKenzie, obviously, if you're not familiar with her, check her out in Defiant Wrestling. Check her out, her previous stuff in Progress, or wherever you can catch her. She's, I think, still only 17 years old, and she is going to be huge as far as women's pro wrestling goes, and pro wrestling in general, really. I expect humongous things from her within the next 5 years, and even then, she'll still only be 22. So yeah, she's got a very bright future. And then the other third contest that's announced, day three, you have Toni Storm defending the title against Charlie Morgan. So I think Tony's obviously going to retain the title here. I think that Ginny's made a stipulation if Charlie Morgan loses this match, she's banned from the building on May 20th when Ginny gets her title shot at the women's champion. So I think it's obvious here that Toni Storm is going to defend the title successfully here at Super Strong Style 16. And then I think on May 20th, I think that reign is going to come to an end. It's going to be about a year that she's held the title. It's been an absolutely fantastic run. And if she's going to lose to anybody, I think Ginny's the best bet. It was either Ginny or Dahlia Black in my mind as kind of those three kind of encompassing the best of the Progress women's division from the get-go. And so I think that Toni Storm and Ginny is going to be an awesome show on May 20th. And Ginny's finally going to win the champion and start a great heel run as champion in Progress. So that's what we've got coming up. May 5th, 6th, and 7th, Super Strong Style 16 tournament. This is always a huge weekend from Progress. You don't want to miss that. And then as far as the podcast goes, this Friday, we are going to have our first music podcast. We're taking a break from wrestling coverage here. I'm very excited about the music podcast. More of that to come on the Twitter over the week, but that'll be posted Friday morning. And then, as always, you can catch me on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Podcasts. You can catch me, of course, most importantly, on The Chair Shot, thechairshot.com, at thechairshot.com. Check them out. They've got all of your wrestling coverage needs, WWE, TNA. I do Ring of Honor stuff over there, all sorts of things. Everything you need as far as wrestling, UFC goes, they got you covered. They're doing a fantasy football podcast. And I'm bringing my music podcast into the fold as well. So keep a lookout for that. Again, check them out, thechairshot.com. As always, you can tweet at me at @StageDWrestling. Tell me what you're looking forward to as far as Progress goes. How'd you like Chapter 66 and 67? What do you think of the upcoming Super Strong Style 16 tournament? Let me know. Of course, you can send me an email as well, stagedivewrestling@gmail.com. Give me your opinions, your feedback on the show. Of course, as always, please like, rate, subscribe, follow. Tweet at me, leave me reviews, let me know what you like, let me know what you don't like. I want to make this the best podcast, the best listening experience it can be for the indie wrestling fan. As always, I'm the Blue-Eyed Devil, Monty Cliff, signing off. Thanks for nothing, you punks. Heel turn.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.